Hi everybody, it's Chad of the Wild, and this season we are playing Tears of the Kingdom.
You learning your iambic pentameter?
Failing horribly along the way. In our last season, we completed a temple. And
our last season?
In our
last season.
In our last episode, we completed a temple. I mean, were there temples in the last season? Yeah, technically.
Yeah, there were Krizoa temples.
The Krizoa temples, yes.
Krizoa
we can't
temples.
Keep referencing that season. Go listen to the Star Fox season, though. It was a lot of fun. Anyway,
I call fairies Baphmedads now.
That's your own brain damage. In our last episode, we completed Arito Temple, and we thawed, quote-unquote thawed, the area around us. It's like... The area that thawed was very small. It was more just like the Rito Tower looks great now. Everything else around us is still pretty frozen.
The blizzard has stopped.
Yeah. In certain visibility regions, has improved significantly.
Visibility has, significantly improved visibility. It's no longer whiteout conditions up here in the Hepper region.
The snow, the places that were covered in snow. Wait. Never mind. Just never mind.
There is less snow now.
Yes.
In the valley area.
It resembles
still
yes.
snow.
It resembles more of Breath of the Wild than it did before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When this happens, the Rito are all hanging out there. They get to go back to business as usual. We do get to see that Impa has come by here and she's looking for another geoglyph. Though that was very confusing for all of us because she says the geoglyph is nearby. It's not. There were two in this region, including the tundra region that we're going to explore as well. But it's not. We already knew about these. So that kind of threw us off when we showed up and she was just like, there's one nearby. And it's just like we maybe wasted a little time looking around for something that wasn't there.
She also, this is when she mentions the Forgotten Temple, not Forbidden Temple. Mm. That's a TV show.
That's more important to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's rock.
But yeah, why don't we go ahead and just start talking about that? So if you go to where the Forgotten Temple, now for the Breath of the Wild players, the Forgotten Temple was a very memorable temple because when you got there, there were literally a dozen guardians.
Just like, death. Just straight death.
Immediately targeting you and you having to get through all of them. And I believe just the reward at the end. Well, I know there were two rewards. There was a shrine at the end, but then there's also a treasure chest with a tunic or something like that, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tunic of the Wild, which was a green tunic. For our Breath of the Wild
best
Link.
Tunic. Best of the green tunics.
Although, what? Was that shade of green just the perfect green?
I mean, it looks cool. The shorts looked all right. The tunic looked good. The hat didn't, you know, it was a good designed tunic is all I'm saying. Because, you know, they said like, Link just kind of looks like a dope. I don't like. We don't want to dress him in the green outfit like we had before. I think the designer said it's tough to make him look cool like that. But that tunic is probably better than any of the amiibo tunics I got from Breath of the Wild. I liked it the most.
I need to see that one again. I guess because they all just blend together as the same to me.
Mine's completely pink.
Right. Yeah. You did get the opportunity to change the color. In there, and we will eventually too. I mean, I don't know. Did you guys buy the dark tunic at all from the depths?
Mm-hmm.
I did. Yeah, I did grab that.
Yeah,
the Poe collector.
Does it do anything? Because it says it gave me resistance, but it doesn't. Oh wait, different tunic. My bad.
Different tunic. No. The dark tunic in the original game, in Breath of the Wild, what it did was, if you had all three pieces, it let you move faster at night.
Yes, that's right. Right. And you look cool because your eyes are all.
Mm-hmm. Your eyes are all
dark
meat.
Link.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So
they're glowy.
When we go back to the Forgotten Temple this time, it's a little underwhelming because it's just empty for the most part. There's some moblins. There's like two or three moblin camps that you can get through, but
yeah,
I don't know
about
y'all.
I kept waiting for the shoe to drop or the boot, the iron boots to drop.
Yes. This was pretty simple to get through here. I was pretty beefed up for these guys. And when we get to the end, there is a shrine over there as well. What was the tournament? Wasn't that one a fun challenge? I'm trying to remember what shrine that one was.
They all are.
No, I believe that was the Courage to Fall shrine.
Oh, okay. Was it? No, because I did that one this week, I did the Forgotten Temple a long time ago.
Courage to Fall, I think, was that near one of the... Oh, Courage to Fall was near the stable, right?
Maybe it wasn't notable for me then, because I didn't save a screenshot of it on mine, of which one it was.
It was convenient, though. It's very conveniently placed. I appreciate that.
Because I get the feeling we're going to want to come back here.
Oh, yeah, probably. The thing for me, it wasn't that, like, the temple itself was, or, like, walking into the temple compared to when it was crawling with guardians. That part was underwhelming. But seeing what has happened since to the temple, I was like, oh no. In the back of that temple, there is the largest goddess statue we have ever seen, essentially. And she's just having a nap right now.
Not really. Not here.
Yeah.
Down there.
Knocked over on her side. And also, you can't talk to her anymore. She will not give you hearts or stamina vessels, which is different from how she existed in Breath of the Wild.
Mm. Right. But behind...
Concern!
But behind her was some more interesting things.
She fell so that we could live.
When we go behind there, we find two different rooms. One, as far as I know, we couldn't do anything with it. Maybe we'll do something with it later, but right now there was nothing to interact with there. But the room...
There's like... We should describe it for people.
Well, go... Yeah, Tegan, can
you
describe it?
Because it's going to be... It's going to be important. I feel my lore senses went on high alert
when I entered
this room. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I know what this is. So it's a zonai structure, you know, typical with the... Typical. There's like a sand pit in the middle with like the ring pattern in it, the little droplet pattern. Mm. There are... Seven different shaped stone representations around it. They're just like rocks at this point. There's no like distinctive carvings or anything, but they're all different sizes and different like shapes overall. And in the middle of this, there's like a lotus. And there's like these like beams that are coming, like concrete beams, essentially, that are, like, inlaid in the floor that are radiating out from this thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a ceremony room.
It's a ceremony room. And if you played Ocarina of Time...
Oh, boy.
If you played Ocarina of Time, there's some significance, I think, to the specific positioning of the stones, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about some Temple of Light, that, like, platform thing.
I'm talking about some sacred realm.
Some sacred realm,
you know,
stuff.
these are the sages' positions.
Here's your medallion.
And you can probably also figure. I think I can loosely figure out which sages where based on just the shape of the rocks.
The wide, stubby one is probably a Goron, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. The tall, slender one is for this game probably a Zora, just because they're so tall.
Yeah.
You know.
But
I just had an idea of who a forest sage might be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We know there is a sage of time and a sage of wind based on...
So far,
yes.
So,
are the two that
you
we
know.
But we can't, like I said, we can't do anything with this room right now. It almost certainly will have some significance later. The room behind it does start a cutscene where Impa and, I forget his name, her helper that's tagging along.
Oh, yeah.
They show up and they talk about this room, and it's like, I think it just looks really obvious. I mean, it's a map. It's our map with a bunch of these squares on it that are the shapes of the geoglyphs. And mm-hmm. it really is just like, and we've seen this, I really appreciate in this game. There are so many times that they just put a map on the wall and mark mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff for you.
And they're like, if you want to look at it, go ahead.
Yeah, look at it. Try to get it on yours. On top of that, sometimes you might meet people or find old maps that will just put a mark on your map for you. Mm. Here's a big X for something that you can do. Don't know what it is. Go explore.
It's like the Brotherhood of Steel being like, well, here's all the vaults we know about.
Does this actually mark the geoglyphs on your map?
No.
Because I took a picture of it.
I also took a picture of it.
I took a literal picture of it on my phone, and then I remembered that I can take pictures in the game.
Or on your Switch. You have multiple ways just to take a picture of this, yes. But
yeah, I took a picture with my Sheikah Slate. Just...
And then I took a selfie of myself with it in the background with the Sheikah Slate.
You doing this one? the finger up pose?
I love it. But there's outside of this cutscene, there isn't anything for us to interact with. I assume when we see all of these, something may change in this room. I was waiting for even the ones that I found to glow or something. That didn't happen. It was just like, breakthrough. This is so interesting. It's telling us more about geoglyphs. And then she's just like, go find them all, Link. And that's kind of it.
Yeah, this raised more questions about geoglyphs in general for me, partially because like I went and found the geoglyphs in this area before I went to the temple. And one thing I realized is like one of the things we're going to see looks like it should be pretty far down in like the list of memories, and it's legit halfway through. So there's like eight more memories after that. And then I realized like the first memory that we actually have isn't of a geoglyph or anything. It's of the beginning of the game. So there's a memory before that, and there's presumably memories after the geoglyphs. So I wonder if like all those later memories are going to be things that we see as we go through the game, or if there's going to be hidden geoglyphs that show up like underground or in the sky or something. Because
that could be interesting.
There's not enough geoglyphs on that map.
I didn't think about that. That's a great point.
Because we didn't fill in a memory through the Rito, like actual temple quest. Whereas in Breath of the Wild, each of the divine beasts came with their own memory.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the memory spots around the map. So yeah, there's going to be some other ones.
There is one other piece of environmental storytelling that is contained in this room specifically that they do not outright say this, but they do make a point of showing you all of the geoglyphs on the wall, starting from the left-hand side and working your way around the right. And looking at the ones we've already gotten, there is a numerical order to them, and it is showing you in that shot, the order that they expect you to go see these geoglyphs in.
Uh-huh. Remind me, in Breath of the Wild, didn't they just show you like the places? They gave you angles in it when they were like, here's all the different things. And so
that's it.
You could surmise and do it in your own order there. Okay, yeah. So
yeah, but they did. They are listed like in your Sheikah Slate in an order. Right. Like, it's not like the order of them is scrambled every time. And the order they appear in the Sheikah Slate is the viewing order if you go 1 to whatever, 10 or whatever. Like, if you track them all down in that order, like, you'll see the story complete from, like, point 1 to point 8, you know? But with these ones, since we're doing, like, a region-by-region thing, we're going to see the story probably kind of out of order. Which I think is more along the lines of like how most of us experienced Breath of the Wild anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me. Anyway. But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting. They're like, this is the order to view the geoglyphs in. Here's all the geoglyphs on the map.
Right.
Do with that what you will.
I look back at the picture. I think there's 11 geoglyphs on the map. There's 18 memories. Mm-hmm. And
this is, I thought there were 13, but I don't know.
Well, the second one we got in a cutscene. The second one was what we did in a cutscene. So
yeah. So memory one, still blank for us. Memory two, cutscene at the beginning of the game. Memory three, Zelda showing up in the past and being like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So listeners, if I think we'll go ahead and put a disclaimer before certain memories, because the first memory they got, what we get in this one, which was number four, I don't think is a huge spoiler thing. The other one that we got, which was number 10, is a big one.
It's only 10. I went in there and looked at it. I was like, okay, well, let's see how far down this is. Like, oh man.
Right? I think it's the way we do that is we just say like, hey, this is memory, this number. Mm-hmm. If you haven't found that memory yet, skip the next 5 minutes or whatever.
So let's talk about the memories. Well, the number four and number 10. Brian, why don't you go ahead and describe number four to us?
Which one's number four?
Anybody else can remember it? Can anybody else remember which number four was? I can look
at it in my.
This one was pretty simple. It's Zelda, Sonya, and Rauru on a cliff looking out on the land, and this sort of confirms Zelda. She fully understands now she is in a world before the sort of like cultivation and the growth that she is used to of the cities and all of this stuff and the castle and everything. So it's very clear this is an untouched land compared to hers. And that is where she fully understands now. She is back in time.
Standing on the Great Plateau.
Mm-hmm.
Spot. Like the camera pan late title card spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was our title card spot for Breath of the Wild. She was like, she's up there and she's looking out. And I was like, this is the place. We were there.
They reinforce, I guess this would be where they first talk about it, where Sonya says, you have a time power just like I do. Even though they're holding the same thing, so it's like time-wise, it just, yeah, she has hers from the future, and then she came to the past, right? So,
I think it's the implication is the lineage, because she says,
there's also
she has the time power, and she's got your light power, so clearly
they
we're
just
related.
Gloss over it. They're just sort of like, yeah, so you're our great great granddaughter anyway.
Yeah. yeah, they said, we'll just tell everybody you're a distant relative, and technically we're not lying.
Yeah.
I love that. Good for them. You're a distant relative. Distant. We're not saying how
far away. When far away?
It's really a when far away question, but we appreciate your enthusiasm. Like,
if only Marty McFly could have been so candid about this stuff, it would have been just so much easier for him.
I've got Huey Lewis in the News stuck in my head. So, yeah.
But then at the very end of the scene, Sonya says, Let's get you out of those clothes into something a little nicer. And it's just like, that explains my question that I had of like, why is she wearing that stuff now? And it's more just like, yeah, those clothes are technically out of style. I mean, they haven't gone into style yet, so they're not, it hasn't come around yet.
I mean, she's a trendsetter. She should be rocking her stuff.
But I mean, it makes sense. Like, you don't want to wear something that's completely different. You're going to be catching too many eyes, right?
She's
you want to blend.
Distant
in.
Relative. Mm-hmm. She can wear her distant, far away clothes.
She's from Hyrule, Canada.
this is my Canadian girlfriend.
Yeah, right.
My
exactly.
Canadian princess. That would be the name of this episode if I was doing that.
Canadian princess.
My Canadian princess. But that's that one there. Sort of just reinforcing a lot of what we already knew, really setting it that, you know, we've played enough of these games. We always know that Zelda is part of the bloodline of the like founders of Hyrule and the goddesses and all of that stuff. It's like that has already been a known thing. Number 10. Who wants to go on describing number 10 for us? Listeners, if you, again, we're jumping way ahead. Skip ahead.
You've seen a lot of this.
5 minutes.
You've seen a lot of this if you've seen the trailer. There's a bunch of big old chunks in this. Also, I want to see what happens in between, because I feel like the, oh, we'll just tell people you're a distant relative, has a lot more weight after seeing this one, because Ganondorf's here and he's hanging out.
And they say his name.
And they know each other. And so there's clearly going to be some... I'm guessing there are memories in between where, like, he shows up and is like, hi, I'm from the desert. Like, how's desert going, Ganondorf? Or he's some conflict of some way.
Yeah.
Who's that girl? Why she got that thing? What is that thing?
I don't think so, because he wouldn't be surprised by her having it.
Okay, I don't know.
Even know she has it, because the implication.
Then why the intrigue?
It's Sonya's.
Yeah.
So. Well, here's the thing. So, okay, we open up. Sonya is possibly dead. She might just be dead already.
Laying on the ground.
They do make it seem like, you know, they're protecting her body and everything. Maybe they believe there's some way to still save her, but she's dead. Her tear stone that she has, Ganondorf has this now. But one thing that Ganondorf says, he's talking about, like, to Rauru, he was just like, you did this. This was your doing here. So it makes it sound like Ganondorf was trying to do what he thought was saving things or, like, stopping something, and Rauru was, like, interrupting him the whole time. I don't know. BC, what do you mean?
Basically, what he says is, I think we should say, Ganondorf gets this tear in his hand. It starts to, like, for lack of a better word, corrupt, I guess. It gets bigger, it changes.
It has new script on it.
Yeah, and so...
Well, so we've seen that. When someone takes one of these stones, they sort of get their own engraving in it.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he talks about all this power that he now has. Rauru shows up and is like, what's going on? Zelda's already out there with Sonya. And he's saying, like, this is your fault because you didn't see how all... Like, you didn't take advantage of being all-powerful.
Yeah.
Like, you basically didn't use this power to the fullest, so it's your fault for not being a complete, like, omnipotent.
You had a
dictator.
Super majority, and you did nothing with it. You just pandered to people, so, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so, and from this, we see the birth of monsters across Hyrule, because they just start shooting out of this tier, and you see, like, moblins and everything else appearing across the land, and...
the first blood moon.
Yeah. Ganon takes a shot, like, Dragon Ball Z style energy shot at Rauru. He deflects, or tries to, and as it's about to crack, Zelda transports both of them. With the Pura-Pad. Or all three of them, I should say, out of there.
Mm-hmm. And he...
Great news. The Pura-Pad works in the past.
Yeah. And he, Ganondorf, we thought, like, that was a shot of demise from the back, but, like, that's Demon King Ganondorf. Like, he turns around.
He's at least channeling the power of him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he changes, right. And gets big ol' red hair and is, like, very demise-esque.
Right. But yeah, they teleport out of there, and he's Ganondorf just like, is just like, oh,
I'm gonna
go
be evil now.
Yeah, they're not gonna be able to stop me. It's fine. But yeah, I mean, what we'll need to see is clearly at some point, through some last ditch effort, they end up sealing away Ganondorf. So yes, we have a lot left, but that's just because this is sort of the start of the true villain that we're dealing with now. So it makes sense that we're only, like, halfway through all of these memories. There's going to be so many more things, I'm sure. Anything else on the memories before we take a break? All right.
I just want to say, you first, Tegan. No, of course.
Oh, okay. I am most interested at this point at the pre-established relationship that Ganon has with Rauru. I want to know, because it's implied in Breath of the Wild through, like, the recipe stuff for the monster cake, that the recipe for the monster cake describes it as the royal advisor's favorite treat. implication there being that there's some sort of Ganon figure who is acting as a royal advisor to the King of Hyrule, right?
Oh,
similar to Ocarina of Time. Yeah, that's a whole thing. That's a whole thing. No, yeah, this is why I read everything.
So we're doing some Zant stuff here.
Right, so we're doing some Zant stuff there. So then I'm thinking with this and him saying, like, Raru, this is your fault, like, and them, what is this pre-established dynamic they have? Is it another similar, like, Ganon was some sort of advisor to the king, like he was trying to be in Ocarina of Time? Like, is that another pull from this sort of thing? Or is there some other dynamic here that I'm missing?
That's why I'm wondering if, like, he uncovers, like, oh, Zelda, this girl is, like, way in the future, and you're not telling me. There's more to what's going on, Raru, that you're not telling me. Ganondorf, desert guy.
Yeah, your best friend or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that, and I also want to know if Zelda coming back to the past, like, if she, because she spent all that time with Calamity Ganon, 100 years trying to, you know, holding his power back, do they have some sort of, does she recognize that power in him initially and go, you're a bad guy, and messes up the initial relationship they had?
That's interesting, Tegan.
Thanks. Well, I've been thinking about
Seeing as how most people forget us from like a year and a half ago or however long it's been since Breath of the Wild, probably not.
And it's been shut down. Sorry, Tegan. So
yeah, that's okay.
Would you have
these?
Nice try.
Link is the Tony Hawk of Hyrule.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's just like, oh yeah, you look just like the hero. You know?
Yeah. Have you I wonder what he's up to these days.
Anyway, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, we're gonna do a bunch of exploring. We're gonna look through the tundra, and we're gonna maybe see some other stuff in our region that we haven't talked about before.
Was that an intentional pun? We're going to do a ton of exploring in the tundra?
A ton of exploring.
We'll be right back.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-up, Link.
We're back. We have helped out the Rito. Now our reward is more area to explore. As we said before, we were looking down in the Forgotten Temple, and that is in the New Era area where the tundra is. It's just northeast of the Rito Tower and all that stuff. So we opened up that region. We did some exploring. Let's talk about the cube.
Yes.
One of the big floating cubes we have access to now, and I think we all had some different experiences with it.
I mean, I went to the floating part first, and it was like, no,
see,
you did wrong.
Yes, I saw that and immediately had a big smile on my face. I was like, oh, multi-step process, thank you.
I thought it was a two-step process at first.
I was intrigued by the cube. Then impressed by the cube, and then I was over the cube in so many ways by the end of the cube.
So I started on the ground floor of the cube, and I read the little notebook, and I went, great, I'm not going to worry about anything. And I just walked into the maze, immediately was accosted by some hands, and left.
All right, listeners. I still haven't seen the hands.
How?
I don't
really?
Know what I've done to not see the hands. I've been playing the game for almost 40 hours now, a full work week of playing this game. I have not seen these hands.
I'm so happy for you. I hope you never catch these hands.
Okay, hour check real quick. So, BC, said...
I'm like 35 hours-ish.
So. I'm 45.
70.
70 hours or more.
Yes.
Okay.
I got into, because the bottom one is basically not the same, but
is the same.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
I didn't know if like some of the paths had changed or something, like, because there's stuff in the air that looks like it could have been like walls could have lifted up into the sky. Or something like that, but yeah, you do the same thing where you find a hidden wall somewhere, and break your way into where the shrine is.
It's just in the center. Yeah, like, I knew because I had been through these multiple times. I went in the center. I looked around a little bit before even dropping in, like, moving my camera a little bit. And I was just like, okay, there's the hole in the wall. And just dropped down into that hole in the wall, and I'm in the center. Like, hands. I didn't go through the maze at all. Like, it was just sort of like...
Get hit by hands. As soon as I got in, I was like, I unlocked the thing. And the voice goes, ha, 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 go up to the sky, ha, ha, ha.
And then the music...
What the hell is this?
Yeah, I... Now I'm just going to have to, like, wander for hours expecting to see these hands. I don't know why I haven't seen them.
I'll send you a location. I died, like, immediately because I was in a tiny room with, like, six evil hands.
I did not fight the hands here.
I want to talk about the fighting the hands.
I have fought them elsewhere. I beat the hands.
Oh,
see,
okay.
When I died, I was like, okay, well, I wasn't expecting that. But let's go. Like, it's on. We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill these things. And they didn't show back up.
Should I take my headphones out for 5 minutes so you guys can talk about the hands?
I don't think it needs to be.
No, it's okay.
Well, no, I want to say I want to say it because, you know, with what we're doing, we have to acknowledge it. So, yeah, Brian and BC, take your headphones off real quick.
Wave to me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so when you beat the hands, here's what happens, listeners. When you beat the hands, Phantom Ganon shows up, and he's horrifying. I hate it so much.
So I had fought him previously. I beat him. I got his weapons off of him.
You beat him?
Yeah, I beat him. No big deal. The weapons weren't of use right now. We are not supposed to be experiencing this yet. Because, like, one of the weapons is based on your heart count. It's only strong mm-hmm. if you have a lot of hearts. We don't have a lot of hearts, so it doesn't make sense for us to have this right now. The other one gives us gloom damage every time you use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth having right now. Like, if you don't have a lot of hearts.
We can't do anything about it, yeah.
Anyway, the thing is that even when you beat them, it doesn't, like... I mean, maybe the hands disappear in that region, but... I've come across the hands multiple times, so...
I don't think they do disappear in that region.
I don't think so.
And also, so every time Phantom Ganon loads in, he's got a variety of weapons that he uses. You know?
Yes.
There's the club, there's a sword.
And his bow.
Like a samurai mm-hmm. sword, yeah, and his bow. Those are the ones I've seen. But, like, oh my god. Yeah. It's wild.
Okay, we'll wrap up here.
We're never gonna get it back. I'm never gonna beat him.
Am I back?
Sorry, did you hear anything, Brian? You moved your headphones further away.
I was
away.
Just like, I think I heard a thing, and then like had to put them a little bit further away. But
okay,
I'm gonna pretend like I didn't.
Yeah,
they're great. If for our Korok hunters at home, on the very top of the labyrinth, on the ground level labyrinth, there is a Korok scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for our Korok hunters at home.
So, yeah, with the cube, you solve the puzzle on the ground level. It lets you open up the one up in the sky. The one up in the sky, like, I wasn't super impressed by it because it was navigating the maze with the wind, and so you had to constantly be on your paraglider and just rubbing against the walls until you find the corners.
How did you get to the one in the sky?
A lot of stamina. So there's another thing is that some of these islands that we have access to now, when you're up there, it turns on low gravity. Mm. And so I was able to get up really high and just used a couple stamina potions. And with with Tulin's Gale, we are able to go out further, and so just basically sort of timing that, I managed to land on the little platform underneath it, but was able to zoop up to it. So
I built some structure. I forget how I flew over there.
Oh, no, that's right. I did. Yeah, I did a hot air balloon, really high.
The hot air balloon.
What I did. Oh. Yeah, that's what it was. Yes,
because there's a. There's also a series of islands nearby that
with a gacha machine on it.
I still don't know how to use those. I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
I tried throwing something into it at one point, and it was like,
you put the Zonai tech.
Any Zonai tech.
Yeah, and it just it took the steering wheel out. It was the only steering wheel I had. And I was like, oh, I would like more steering wheels. I've heard them talk about these enough that it works. And no. So now I have no steering wheels again.
No, don't put any of your Zonai orbs in there.
Okay.
Only put the charges or the like horns and the stuff that you get from taking out constructs.
Okay. So it's like a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But there was one with the those platforms that we can move, but they stay stationary in midair. And I like put a bunch of fans on that, and it was like driving a semi around. It's just like this big, really huge funny thing.
Yeah.
And I flew my way over there.
That's what I did, and it broke in the middle of it. And I was like, "Well, I hope I can get there."
Yeah.
I think for me it was a combination of that and wings. Like if I get anywhere, it's like me strapping rockets to wings and then gliding. Mm-hmm.
Has anyone seen the fan bike?
I've seen the fan bike when you're
accidentally on social media and you stumble into something.
I try and scroll past everything
as fast as I can so I retain nothing.
I've made a really simple, you just do a fan in the front, fan in the back, controller in the middle. It's super simple. It won't get you really far necessarily, but it'll move you. It'll move you. And yeah, I've done that a few times.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
The best part about it is it doesn't break.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making stuff, a lot of times the wings eventually they just like break. They just crud out mm-hmm. underneath you. The fans don't crud out underneath you. So you can
Okay.
Yeah, cool. You can just bike around with the little fans.
So I'm now wanting to build like a little skiff or like series of like pontoons or whatever underneath that fan bike. Like I'm having design ideas for how to make it like land and not just like crash roll on me. Like I could actually bring it down for a smooth landing, drop and grab some stuff, and then get back up in my fan bike. But the fan bike's been pretty great.
Yeah great thing about this game is iteration. You can come up with something and then nuts and bolts style just like, I want to adjust this here. Okay, that this maybe this works, maybe it doesn't work, let's go back to the drawing board. Exploring this area though, so we go up to the cube. You have to activate four little Zonai switches in there, and then that will allow you to, it then increases the fan speed to get you all the way to the top. Another switch on there that then opens up a gate, and it's just sort of like, now drop all the way down to the depths from here.
Yes, please.
Which was cool.
Yes, it was.
And then we have another maze in the darkness.
Sort of. I mean, like,
it's not a maze.
Well, here's the thing. I think it is a maze, but we may have all just lucked out and got the short. Like, I think there is possibly just a really short way.
I thought they were all the same short way.
Mm-hmm.
All four
paths go the same place. They all go down into the little spot.
Because when I die,
there is little stuff at the end of each of those four entrances, though. Yeah.
Because I died, and then I was like, I think I went this way, and I did not. It was a new way, and something new was at the end of that path. So, yeah.
But we have a construct, what are they called? The flux construct, level three.
Yeah.
I only just now have started to do the things you guys were talking about of using the pole to pull the core out.
It's so nice, isn't it?
I just was always shooting it with an arrow. Like, I was just sort of, I thought I was supposed to just hit it with an arrow. And that's what
Tulin's doing. This has been great.
This is, thanks, Tegan, for telling us all that Ascend was the best ability, because that made this fight so much easier.
Right? Isn't it great?
What are you doing to ascend?
Because he does the platform.
When he turns into the platform, you can ascend through him and just hit him.
And just whack him right on top. Yeah.
So they,
I did.
Bomb
so for
arrow.
That, I waited for him to launch the things out. The little, like, those, like, five that he, like, sends out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I climbed up on one and went, rewind. And it pulled me right back up next to him and then launched me a little bit in the air so I could jump on top of him.
I love using recall during flex fights. It's hilarious. Interesting. Yeah, the thing about the third one is I haven't fought a level two yet, but the level three will change where his weak block is, whereas like level one doesn't really do that.
He's also got more moves overall.
Yes. Yes,
which
he does.
Part of why I had a bad time with this is after like the two cubes, I was like, all right, two labyrinths is enough. Please just give me something. but the fighting the flux guy, everything he, if I got touched, I died. One hit killed. And
oh no.
I was like, okay, I had a hardy potion. So I was like, I'll add in some extra temporary health. The temporary health does nothing because if he hits me, I still instantly died. So I was like, why does this even exist?
Just eat some iron shrooms, dude.
He's not that. Killing him isn't the hard part. It's just like not getting touched ever, especially when you have to run around and like the camera angle. Like I think the first time I almost killed him, I accidentally ran up onto like a post and like started climbing a post instead of running. And then he hit me with a shockwave and I died. When he had like 2% health left. So not my favorite.
But when
he drops,
drops is dope.
He drops some special pants that are very reminiscent of someone that we met years and years ago.
Those pants in the last game.
Did you? I don't think I ever got those.
I got them. DLC, I think.
Yeah, they were part of the DLC. EX chest.
Okay. Yeah, I barely touched those.
Because then you can get his big sage killing sword from Twilight Princess, and then get on his horse and just look awesome.
Well, so I guess I should correct myself. What he drops, I'm talking about like his weapon add-on. Mm-hmm. That was super cool.
Oh, yeah.
I cared nothing for the pants. I was so upset that I got pants for that.
But they're Ganondorf's pants from Ocarina.
I don't care.
They are. And they give you sneak up, which is good.
No,
I can't wait for the whole set of sneak up. Sneak up is great if you're trying to tame a horse, you know?
His little triple construct thing is awesome.
I've been using that to smash.
I used it to kill a frog the other day.
I used it to kill a Gleok, my first
Yay!
One.
Yay! Okay, I wanted. Let's pivot into that. So we're stronger. An episode or two ago, so many of these creatures seemed impossible, but and then we'll talk about depth stuff too. So, Tegan, you've defeated a Gleok.
I defeated the flame Gleok that was standing in front of that thing that I didn't know how to get into.
Did you figure out how to get into it?
No, I assumed if I killed it, it was going to let me in, and I killed it, and then nothing happened.
I will give you one hint.
Okay.
There is an environmental thing to
okay.
interact with.
Okay, there's like a... There's cool. like a buy it. Okay, huh. Because I was looking for like a tunnel or something after a while and I didn't see anything.
It's something I do not believe was ever in Breath of the Wild. So like it is a different kind of mechanic.
Okay.
But again, it's not complicated. It's a very simple thing, but I just don't think we had these in Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
Look around that area, everywhere in that area, but you don't have to go more than like, I don't know, 100 feet away from it. Like,
it's,
you don't have to go super
It'll
far.
It'll still be on my mini-map, right?
What do you
Is
mean?
Is it, like, within mini-map range?
He won't know.
Like,
oh, I don't know. I don't use
the
mini-map.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
I was going to say, like, if I marked, like, where the box is, can I still see it from, like, where the thing is?
There is
where the device is.
I couldn't tell you, but it's not that far. There is the one in the Thundra Plateau. I still haven't figured it out. I thought maybe it's the same kind of mechanic. So I have combed, I believe, that area and have
Different
not
mechanic.
Found the thing that opened up the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
okay,
please let there be a quest that takes me back here and someone will give me a hint because I've got nothing here. I've spent so much time looking back and forth in there.
I haven't even fought a Gleok, period.
Okay.
I haven't gone back.
I've taken
like,
three so far.
I was like, I'm going to make a bunch of really strong weapons, and I did, and I was like, ooh, what's that? And then went that way.
Gleoks are fun. Outside of the or a short way outside of the labyrinth in the depths, there is a, was it a Phrox? It's like a blue and white Phrox that is this giant toad that, or I guess frog.
Looks I like love him.
It's, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's, yeah, yeah, who knows?
I tried to fight him, but I didn't have any arrows, so it went very poorly.
Oh, you don't need arrows. You don't need arrows, BC.
I tried to fight him also, and it went terribly.
Treat them like a Dodongo.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but, like, he's one-shotting me, and I have 9 hearts now.
He is one-shotting. Yes, it's true.
Yeah. And I think this goes back to my earlier statement last episode. It was like, if I'm getting hit, there's something wrong. It's like Elden Ring in the first place. It's like, why add hearts when I'm going to die if I have 5 more hearts than I do now?
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found one of these while following the statues for Joshua and like heard a noise and then that noise turned into a like death howl. And I was just like, what is that? But like I said, in contrary to early game Breath of the Wild me, I'm like Neo at the end of the Matrix now. Like instead of running away, I just go no, and just like turn to it, and fight everything. So that fight was awesome, and pretty quickly realized that he is trying to suck me in, and treat it like a Dodongo, hop on his back. It's like a Talus fight, but so much more fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you noticed that the baby Phrox try and eat your light
seeds?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then like an animal, they have like when they die, they drop seeds that they were inside them.
In their belly.
Yep. Yeah.
They'll eat anything that's in front of them. They'll eat weapons. They'll eat
zonite.
They'll eat. You could.
Oh,
you can
that's
throw
why they
anything.
Always have zonite in them.
Yeah, yeah. You can throw anything in their general direction, and they'll if they hear the sound, they'll look for it and they'll eat it.
Yeah, because like
then
the,
you can use that to like sneak up on them.
Because like when the Phrox is sucking stuff in, he will chew on it if you don't get a bomb in there. He'll be like So yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
I have found 2 different color Phrox running around down there. I found the blue and white one, and I found one called an obsidian
yes!
Phrox.
Yes! I killed him yesterday. It was so much fun.
No, thank you.
I couldn't tell if that was just like, it's like a red, blue, black, silver, gold sort of progression. So now just all Phroxes are obsidian, but I don't know.
Speaking of creatures we beat down there, Brian, you had mentioned in the last episode, you were like, man, that Colgara fight was fun. I hope we get to do it again. You think it'll be back? Turns out it is in more than one location. Did you all know this?
Well, no, I did not know that.
There's actually more than one location where they appear. But I'm wondering possibly if the only reason that they both appeared there is because that is the only boss of a temple that we've beaten.
Right.
Possibly when we beat other ones, they'll cycle maybe of which ones show up there.
Because, yeah, I was wondering if, like, could I have stumbled into Colgara?
I wondered the same thing.
Before, I'm sure it would just have been in, like, a giant empty thing. With the chest at the that we get at the end is covered in gloom. So I assume would go away and we get the thing. The thing that I said,
you were like, I can't do this. Like, right when you first saw it?
Well, when I saw it, I was like, well, I was afraid there would be no updraft. Like, it would be harder for some reason. So I like, and I didn't know that you had done it because you didn't, I don't think you'd said anything in the group. So I was like spoiler tagging everything.
I just said your wish will be granted. That is the
only
thing.
What was
said,
my wish? What was
that
my
wish?
That
we'd be able to fight him again.
No. My wish was, I hope that I can dive straight through his ice circle.
You said,
and I
did. You think we'll be able to fight him again.
Okay, okay.
That is what I
but,
said.
But specifically, I wanted to know, like, because I was like, can you fly? Like, just skydive straight through his weak point? And you can. And it's amazing.
Doesn't
I love
damage
it so
him.
Much.
You have
yes.
to break
oh,
the
yeah.
spikes.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Though? Yeah, you have to let the spikes, you'll have to hang out in the air, let them come up and go past you, and then when there's enough of a when there was enough room, I just dove straight through. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. If you hit the spikes as you're diving down, it will kill you. So yeah,
just yeah, just it's
good to know.
Just yeah. impaled.
But I did that to him twice.
Tegan, I love how you just asked us, hey, has anyone been to this particular light route? No context.
Yeah.
Just an
no
ask.
No context. Just, did anyone go here?
Yeah.
Maybe you should.
and so Colgare is on the opposite. If you're coming from the labyrinth, there's a giant pit, mm-hmm. and across that pit, from that pit, is a light route. So uh-huh. I saw the light route in the distance. I was traveling. I was on a wing that
on
was
on the path. Yep.
I was on a wing that was strapped with rockets. And what I've been doing is, like, if I find like a cart or something I can use or a wing, I'll build a construct and then I'll shoot a big light bloom on the front of it so that as it travels, you can just see out in front of me and I don't have to actually like throw them around.
Mm-hmm. That's really smart.
So as I'm flying on this wing and like it glides and crashes to a halt right in front of this pit, and I just see Colgara in the darkness in the distance, and I'm like, oh, this is what Tegan was talking about. This is the light route.
I was on a giant tree, like, that was just mangled and turning weird ways, and I was riding a skeleton horse, and I was like, hold on, you stay here, buddy. I probably won't be able to find you again. You're going to walk off, but it's fine. I want to go climb this giant tree and see what's up here. And just, like, just a sliver of background came over the side of the tree as I was running, and then it disappeared again behind, like, one of those kind of mushroom platforms. But, like, it was enough to be like, did I just see the boss? I didn't I?
What's great is it's what it drops is one of its mandibles,
yes!
that does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
I didn't
share the video of me running in a circle with it on my back excitedly.
And so that's good. And for me, I'm just like, this is an easy fight that it'll return after a blood moon. So jump back mm-hmm. in there real quick, knock him out, upgrade a weapon. Just be like, yeah, here, I got a super strong one. As we get stronger, like, base weapons, make sure that I have a mandible sword or something like that on there.
Use this good. Nice blank area to get all your amiibos out and
ooh.
Get a good solid non-rusted traveler sword,
yeah.
or a knight sword, and
depending
then just attach
on...
it to that.
Yeah, I've ranked up twice now. Those invisible guys give me whatever. I don't know. Am I up to? I don't think I'm up to. I think I'm up to. Knight. Yeah, I think
soldiers?
It's knight.
Yeah.
So it's what, like a 15 damage base or something like that? Is that around
mm-hmm.
something like that?
It's like the one that I have it attached to is like an 8 damage base or a 9 damage mm-hmm. base. And then
12.
I put the...
I've got a 12.
Yeah, and I put the mandible on it and then it was like 37 damage. And I was like, ooh.
Like, not as good as my silver Lionel gear, but that's okay. Lionel sword.
Yeah. So the cold...
I killed...
Go ahead.
My first silver bokoblin, and I got his little anglerfish horn.
Yep. Silver?
Mm-hmm.
Are those stronger than the black ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten silver yet, so.
I think gold, either gold or possibly onyx, like we may go beyond, like, I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's silver.
I don't know either.
There's probably going to be gold.
Gold was only in Master Quest.
Mm-hmm. Master
in Breath of the Wild, so who knows?
So
they might have them here.
I think they. I mean, I think that's the bait. Like, we got all the DLC in this game. It only makes sense they took all the Master Mode stuff. They took it. Remember, Tears of the Kingdom is we took everything that we had in Breath of the Wild and then we remixed it. So
yeah,
it's gonna. If it was in Breath of the Wild, it's gonna be in here. Except for Guardians, apparently. Guardians
apparently.
Are the exception.
If we run into one of those underground, I'm gonna lose my mind.
They're a lot tougher, the silver ones, than the black ones. They're like, they're an order of magnitude like higher. And I was like, I didn't think I was advanced enough to start spawning these guys, let alone spawning them in the depths. okay.
That's why you just make them fight themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Joshua quest leads us to a pretty great thing.
Okay, I need, Brian, maybe I'll need you to take the lead on this, on like what is the limit, because speaking honestly here, I already did all this stuff. Like when I talked to Joshua, she was like, "You've already done this? What did you find?" And mm-hmm. then she followed up and was just like, "Wait, that was there? Oh no." And so Brian, why don't you go ahead and tell us what the actual quest line is here?
I haven't done the quest yet.
You
haven't done the quest yet.
We said to do the stuff with Joshua,
but I haven't done it yet.
If you follow the statues,
be vague,
it takes you to like southern north central Hyrule or whatever we're calling it. And there's a couple of, you're going to want this quest, BC, because it gives us our final arm power, or guess final.
It'll be the final base. I think we might get upgrades. I think we possibly will get an upgrade. Although I don't know what an upgrade would be.
It filled in my wheel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But they're out there. There's a couple of researchers hanging out at this mine, this really fancy mine. And
just go ahead and talk about it. I'll do it next episode. So just go ahead and talk about
it. Well, because I don't even think he knows who this person is.
Right.
I don't know if you ever got that part.
Like, I'm not worried about telling you that, hey, Koga's here. But best friend Koga, best character from Breath of the Wild, hands down, shut up, you're wrong.
Is he? Is Koga the person who leads the Iga?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
When was the last time we saw Koga, Brian?
Like, we see him once and it's not enough, and then we see him in Age of Calamity.
No, well, I mean, what happened to him last time at Breath of
the
Wild?
He went down the pit that I was like, ooh, I wonder what's at that pit now, when we were, you know, discussing trailers and stuff. I was like, I'm going to go check out Koga's pit. Past Brian, you have no idea. Okay, so we
Past
get...
Past Brian, you're about to be delighted.
Oh, man, this game is so good. So these researchers are down there, and they're like, I'm reading this crap, but I don't know how to deal with, you know, we don't know how to, what any of this means. And what it is the rune is a auto builder, and it will remember anything you've built. Well, it has a memory, like a history limit, but it will remember what you've built. And if there are pieces around, it will just grab those pieces. It's what is it, a hexagon? You know those platforms? It's shaped like that, so you can walk around those platforms in the depths and be like, okay, it'll grab some of the fans from over here, it'll grab a glider, if there's a glider there, and it will just auto-build stuff. And you can mark things as favorite. So I've got BC's patented glider blimp is one of my favorites, and then the air bike is my other favorite. If those things, yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
But if you are missing a piece, you can just spin some Zonite and it will create it for you. So you can create some kind of contraption, and as long as you have enough Zonite anywhere you are, anywhere, you can create that contraption. You don't need it. A little trick I saw, and I want to just say this, because I think this is going to be very useful, is go and find a bunch of apples, stick all the apples together, save that contraption, and the next time you're in a forest, bring up your auto build and just move that around, and it'll just pull apples out for you. It'll just collect a bunch of apples for you, and then you can just drop it down and pick them up real easily.
Because a listener,
right, Tegan,
patron Ryan,
Tegan's faith.
I wish you could see it, listeners.
Patron of Ryan from the Ryan Haas from the SMB movie database shared a video of fishing like that. So that's, apples. That's a good call. Good call. But yeah, so you unlock that, and then they're like, ha ha, we were evil. And like, yeah, I know you didn't have names. You're clearly Iga. But then homeboy shows up, and I'm just like, I want to give him a hug, but he didn't want to hug me.
He wanted to dance.
He wanted to hug you. He wanted to hug you with the front end of his car.
That's
that
right.
He made.
He has a car.
We are suddenly at a monster truck rally. in the middle of it.
Yiga camps. Like, I haven't gone into any of them yet, but it you just see a car driving by, and I'm like, that's awesome. I'm doing my thing right now, but I'm going to come check you out later. Yeah. So, big old fight. Really great. Auto builder. On the way there, I fought a Frox. I had the best time. At the end of the episode, last time, like, I'm just, like, shaking. Like, I can't wait to talk about this.
It changes the game. It completely changes the game.
It's so cool.
All of a sudden. Like, it's amazing.
If you use the auto builder to just pay Zonite to get those parts, they have this, like, green tint to them. Mm-hmm. And if you try and, like, shake those parts apart to add it to something else, they will disappear. Mm-hmm. So you can't just, like, summon some, you know, your favorite and then use those parts to...
You can add on to it, though.
You can add on to it, but you can't take things off of it. But yeah,
BC,
that's
go do
basically
this.
It.
Yeah, so that will be on my list now. I was kind of thinking that, okay, the statues are probably going to go all over the world or something, not just
I think they will. I think they will lead to more things, too. You know, we've only...
There are more statues.
Yeah. But that's going to be something to follow going forward.
Okay, gotcha.
Koga builds a lesser version of BC's patented glider blimp and flies off towards where we're going to be heading eventually. And then I think Josh is like, hey, there are more pointy guy statues down there. So there are more statues that will lead to where Koga went to.
The only reason I know who Koga is because I found the Iga camps, and they'll have little schematics that are next mm-hmm. to notes that say, like, mm-hmm. all praise Koga or something like that. All of
Agreed.
You met random Iga in the depths. My first encounter with Iga was running into one of their tanks, and there's just this guy who it reminds me of, I think only... Maybe only Jeremy has played this game, but Paradise Killer, there's a character who's like a half demon who's in this weird island prison energy thing. And there's a guy in an Iga in the tank who's powering it, who looks like he's in this circle, like that, like demon, demon seal, like thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on here? Does that have a cannon? Does it have lights?
I do want to say, so we're getting near the end of our discussion here. The bargainers, we haven't seen anything too interesting with them yet. They're just little shops where you can buy stuff with your pose.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you find a new one, they will unlock a new piece of gear that you can buy out there. It also lets you rebuy amiibo items. So if you unlocked an amiibo item, like, say, Link's shield from Wind Waker, and you broke it, you can just buy it back again.
That's good.
So that's cool with that. But there is one that I did come across that was a giant one that was saying something along the lines of, I need you to free one of them. They're underneath a waterfall in the Gray Plateau. And I was just like, what? Okay, this is a great adventure. I don't know anything else. They just said that to me. That was it. This is near where the temple is, or the thing that we fought Koga at. It's mm-hmm. near that. So that's why I wanted to bring that up there.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Mm-hmm. It's massive. There's another big boy we can find too. That it's just a head on the top of a huge statue. Where I saw this and I was like, I know the Xenoblade team was involved with this, but I didn't know we were playing Xenoblade right now.
I ran into a guy that was like, I'm researching, and then red text monoliths. I'm like, nice.
Yeah, so anything else for this episode before we wrap up, though?
It's just a good game.
This is a great game. This is a great game, guys.
Yeah.
I found Mushroom Haven. That's my only other thing.
Yay!
Is
Mushroom Haven great?
I want to find that.
A lot of mushrooms. So many things. That's cool.
Also, I think somewhere around that, I found a giant silhouette statue. I haven't hit the light route. One of you shared a picture recently. of it like kind of lit up, but like I just saw the giant silhouette and took one of my Link pictures, you know, standing at the camera.
It's called a bargainer statue. So I was worried it was going to fight,
the big thing that's a bargainer. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm going to go talk to that.
You're going to want to talk to it. Like you want, because there's a, you know, you want to activate every single one of them.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty good game.
Having a blast.
For our next episode, over in our Discord, which listeners, there's been at least one listener that has been asking what our Discord is, and I will go ahead and put a link in this episode for sure on that, because I haven't been great about telling other people about our Discord. But we did put a vote out there to decide where we were going next. The vote did lead towards Gerudo, but as a group, we have decided that before we do that, we want to go and visit a couple other places. We're not going to go to any other temples. The next temple will be the Gerudo, but
regions themselves, like to the towns and to do that stuff. We have some errands to run, though.
So many people are talking about, I'm going to go back to Hateno. I'm going to go back to Kakariko. I'm going this way, which is the opposite of where we're going. And we want some things upgraded. We want some things to help us, because right now the game is already challenging. And if I read correctly, the Gerudo was sort of the expected last temple that you would go to. And so there's probably going to be an expectation that you're a lot stronger before you get there. We're going to go and take a detour. And for our next episode, we're going to go and hit up Kakariko and the region around it. We'll see how much is involved there. From what I've seen, there's going to be some quests to deal with. So we're going to go in the Kakariko region. Also go and run into that troop. There's a troop that we've helped out, like a theater or a music troupe.
They are just outside of our first area. Like, okay. You can practically see it. So yeah, it's not much of a detour there. Also Hateno.
We'll see. I'm just saying we'll go to Kakariko first. That may be a whole episode on itself. So we're going to have a detour episode, at least one, before we actually head to the Gerudo area.
The longer the detour, the longer I get to stay naked. I think by the time I get to the desert, I'm going to put clothes on.
But for the next episode, that's what we're going to do. Head to Kakariko. Go help some musicians out, and maybe they'll lead to some good upgrades for us. But do all that, and we'll be back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Long live Koga!